Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. My name is Daniel. I am joined by Field and Stefania. And there's one more sleep until football. One more sleep until football.
Let's go.
We are almost here. Jam-packed show today. And it's mainly going to center around Stefania, because why would it not when Stefania is here, Field?
Today we have renamed the show from Fantasy Focus to Stefania Focus.
That's right.
The listeners and the viewers out there are like, that's about darn time.
About right.
It's about time that we had a Stefania basically only show, as I know she's going to be modest and humble here when I say this, but we're so honored that when we get to discuss injuries that we have somebody who's as good at her area of expertise as anybody at this company is as good at their area of expertise. Stefania, an industry leader, is going to give us the all you need to know information about the various injuries around the NFL. And I am going to sit here and work on Wordle while she does that.
Yeah, well, give me the hints after. Nothing wrong.
Wow, I like that. I love that. All right, a couple things real quickly before we get into it, because we're just going to dive right in. We have so many names we want to get to for you guys today, not just for season long, but also for week one. We want to start spinning forward so that we can talk week one. However, our housekeeping, we are going to be moving the show starting next Monday to 10 a.m. rather than 11 a.m. Eastern time. Show is moving to 10 a.m. Eastern time next Monday as a part of that. So set your alarm clocks, kind of rework your schedule, let your boss know that you need to change some things at work. It's okay. We approve for it. No big deal.
All right. If you are on the East Coast and you have an alarm that goes off at 10 a.m. Eastern time, I'm not even mad. I'm just jealous.
Yeah, that's right.
I haven't seen 10 a.m. Eastern time as far as like waking up.
It's like lunch.
You're not kidding. Yeah. I eat lunch. Well, during the show, not so much. But during the off season, we'd have like 10:30 lunch all the time.
Yeah. We really do. Really do.
It's like 5 hours into the day as a young parent.
What time do you usually get up?
I don't want to talk about it right now.
That's fair.
Too tired thinking of it.
We also have this year coming back again, in case you did not hear yesterday, CSS DFS is coming back tomorrow.
Yes.
Me, Mike Clay, and Al Zeidenfeld. CSS stands for Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle. So for those that don't understand where the CSS DFS comes from, that's what it's all about. We'll be bringing back that back tomorrow, including our regular Thursday normal show. So everything is back on track the way that we normally have it. And now we're going to start some things off here with Stefania.
Rewind.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
It's been a minute since we had that.
Wow, I've missed that drop.
It's been a minute since we had that. Stefania, we're going to just run through. And by run through, I don't have to mean quickly, but we're going to go through a whole bunch of people that have dealt with some injury history, stuff coming out of last year, stuff that came up during training camp. We're going to tease it to you, and then we'll see how we feel about these players. So let's start with the stars, because Christian McCaffrey has fallen all the way to the second overall pick because of the injury that he felt and has been dealing with over the last 2 years. Stefania, where are we at on CMC?
I maintain the position that I've always had, which is he is an elevated risk compared to before when he hadn't missed any games, but he's an extremely high reward. So the bottom line is that the recency of his injuries, it does matter. You know, the last 2 years, he's only played 10 games. He played 3 in 2020, 7 in 2021, and you can't completely discount that. Now, the things that concern me the most about the injuries that he had were really this hamstring injury he dealt with last year because he had a recurrence of it. When you see soft tissue injuries that are cropping back up or there's a recurrence, it gives you a little pause. Christian McCaffrey has talked about things that he's changed in his offseason program. Hopefully some of that will help. He's also talked about getting veteran rest days during the week, which I think that is a great thing that a lot of teams are doing, giving him day off for practice. But Christian McCaffrey also touches the ball more when he's on the field than just about anyone else. Last year, Najee Harris was the only running back to touch the ball more than Christian McCaffrey, but he touches the ball more, and I will give you some numbers. So 23.1 touches per game is what McCaffrey averages when healthy. Last year, 2021, Najee Harris, 22.4. Alvin Kamara, 22.1. Jonathan Taylor, 21.9. So Christian McCaffrey is very involved. That's what you love for fantasy purposes, because you know when he's on the field, he is going to touch the ball and probably do great things with it.
Yep.
But it also increases his injury risk. It increases the exposure because he's on the field so much. And he is the target of people trying to bring him down, whether it's by you know, direct contact or dragging him down through the legs. And that actually, that does take a physical toll on you. What I would say is that even with the injured games included, Christian McCaffrey still was touching the ball more than just about anybody else. 22.4 was his average time touching the ball in the last three seasons. Derrick Henry, 21.6, and Dalvin Cook, 21.4. So that gives you an idea of the company. He is going to be utilized the same way by Carolina. So you love it. That's why he's still so high. If he were somebody who is not as involved, he might have fallen off in the fantasy rankings. But when he's on the field, you can expect him to be involved in the game. I still really love Christian McCaffrey, but I cannot deny that the risk factor has to be incorporated in. I think that's why he ends up at two. I mean, I think it's totally reasonable.
Heck of a risk.
It's not I mean, he's not fallen like out of the top 10 or something crazy. I think we're just acknowledging that this has now happened.
Sometimes when we're doing this every single day, like we do, it's our goal to not just talk about the same group of players over and over again. You want to have an interesting, unique take on someone that's being under-discussed. The story of the year for me in fantasy football is Christian McCaffrey. And here's the reason why. If you were guaranteed 17 weeks of every single player in the NFL, which of course would never happen, but if you knew every single player was going to maintain his health for the entire season, it's not a debate. Christian McCaffrey is the best player in fantasy football when healthy, and it's not close.
Yep.
It's simply not close right now. I've said that a million times. I will continue to say it until proven otherwise. There are people who I respect that are huge football fans that want absolutely no part of Christian McCaffrey at the top of their draft right now. They don't want to have him at pick two. They have a second pick. I want to go somewhere else. Austin Eckler, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp. At pick three, maybe I'll take him if he's sitting there, but they want him to go ahead of them because they don't want to have to make that decision. There are people that have worn out emotionally from having Christian McCaffrey on their roster because over the past two seasons, he's played in 10 and missed 23 games. If he plays all 17 games, the people that are audacious enough, and I should probably use air quotes to say audacious enough to take Christian McCaffrey second or third overall, are going to be richly rewarded. Mm-hmm. It's rare that a player going second or third can prove to be an extreme value. That could be the case for Christian McCaffrey. But here's the reality. If he gets hurt again, it's going to end up burning people like it has for the past two seasons.
Yeah.
This really, it's not about stats. It's not about utilization. As Stefania said, they're going to use him a ton. They're coaching for their jobs in Carolina this year. They can't afford to peel back Christian McCaffrey's workload. This comes down to how you want to risk it. And if you believe that there is no playing for anything other than first in fantasy football, then you should really strongly consider taking Christian McCaffrey first or second overall. If you're somebody that's going to kick yourself 10 times, if you take Christian McCaffrey second or third overall or even first overall and he gets hurt in week four, misses eight games, don't take Christian McCaffrey. It's your roster. Manage it how you want. My personal stance, and because I play in a lot of teams, it's not as much risk for me. If I played on one team and I had the first overall pick, I'd take Jonathan Taylor. Two teams, three teams, whatever, a small number of teams, I understand why you'd want to avoid risk. I play on 13 teams. Of course I got Christian McCaffrey.
Diversify.
You know what? If I don't have him in, if I have him in my high school buddies league and he gets hurt, I can live with it because I've got 12 other teams to rely upon. I believe he's second. I have him second on my big board this year. If I really had some stones to me, I would probably put him number one overall. But I get it. There's a bit of risk because we always talk about this being a game of projection. It's also a game of managing human emotions.
That being said, all of this taken into account, week one, if he's out there, you're starting him every single week.
More than that is, he will be my number one ranked running back every single week as long as he's healthy. Number one for this week. RB1 for week one, Christian McCaffrey. And assuming he's still healthy, week two, week three, week four, until his bye week.
What we also saw last year when he was hurt and then he came back. Yeah. He went right back to his original utilization pattern. It wasn't like they eased him back in, which... Again, for fantasy purposes, you're thinking that's great. I don't know that it's great for overall health purposes, but you know, with the risk comes the great reward.
That's right. Panthers.
That's how I feel about him.
Taking on the Cleveland Browns, a revenge narrative for Baker Mayfield here this week. We'll see how that works out. All right, Stefania, another running back that only missed two games in his career prior to last season, and then Derrick Henry misses nine games last year. Obviously, we saw him at the very end of the year, but coming into this year, how are you feeling about Derrick Henry?
Well, I think anybody who's heard me knows I feel very strongly about Derrick Henry. Like, I am not worried about him because of the nature of the injury he had, that what he had done surgically, he had a Jones fracture. So just remind people, fracture, fifth metatarsal, which is the long skinny bone of your forefoot right below the pinky toe. And yes, you see this all the time in the NFL. Typically, surgery involves placing a screw, and there is some risk of re-injury. We've seen guys who've come back because they want to play again during the season. The sooner you come back, a little higher risk of re-injury. They refracture. If that happens, they end up going a secondary procedure that's much more robust, and then usually no problems after that. Derrick Henry actually had a pretty significant robust surgery with this first one because of his size, because of his foot. They put in a steel plate and reinforced the lateral side of the foot because he's a bigger guy and trying to mitigate some of that risk of re-injury. I think that is in his favor. So basically what he had done, who he had it done by, one of the top foot and ankle surgeons in the country, who also was foot and ankle surgeon at Alabama, knew Derrick Henry from before. So just everything about the process was great. Secondly, the fact that he came back, I don't think people give that enough credit because they look at that playoff game and they're like, yeah, he didn't do that much. Well, here's what he did. He came back and he showed himself that he could run on that foot with no issues. That is a huge hurdle for every athlete coming back from significant injury. And when I saw Derrick Henry at camp, not only did he look great, but in talking to him, he said that allowed him to come in with no limitations and mentally of the mindset that he was 100% and ready to go to kick off the season and start training at that level. So he didn't come in with these questions. He's going to get utilized exactly the same way. I'm not that worried about risk of re-injury. Sure, there's once you've been hurt, there's always some. But it was not the soft tissue variety where you're like, oh, a calf strain here, a quad pull there. It's really not that. So I think the idea that he's suddenly going to break down, like I find it interesting that some of the Christian McCaffrey defenders, like why are you worried about Christian McCaffrey? Like he had like five or six different injuries. He's gotten past them. Derrick Henry's had one big one.
Yeah.
But you talked to him.
And that's it. But people say, yeah, well.
You did?
Okay. Yeah. I know where this is going.
Now that you've heard that, how do you feel about Derrick Henry?
Stefania feels confident, so I feel confident. And so Derrick Henry is a different category than Christian McCaffrey for a few different reasons. Stefania mentioned the volume of injuries, right? McCaffrey's dealt with a number of things. Derrick Henry's dealt with really one thing. So the concern for Derrick Henry is not for me about the fact he's coming off of this Jones injury that, by the way, when he played in the playoffs, while not particularly effective, he had a lot of carries. He had 20 total-ish touches last year in the playoff game, so it wasn't like they had to ease him back into his work. The question for Derrick Henry is, at some point, age will catch up to him like it does every other running back. My lean is that that will not happen this year. The Titans recently committed an extra $2 million financially to Derrick Henry, which is sort of further evidence that they believe he can remain an effective player this season. And I don't know if it's because he missed half the year or if it's because Jonathan Taylor, who is in some ways similar to Derrick Henry, is now the face of fantasy football. But maybe we're forgetting that Derrick Henry averaged 27.375 carries per game. Like, he was by far the best player in fantasy football last year.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey there as well, but because his season basically was lost before it started, Derrick Henry was before he got hurt. So there's a valid case. Like, I'm actually surprised that Derrick Henry hasn't at least been mentioned in the number one player in fantasy football this year conversation. There are some indicators. I'm not saying he is my pick to be the number one player in fantasy football, highest scoring player in fantasy football, but just given the ridiculous 55 game run he's been on, I'm surprised he hasn't at least been tossed in as a dark horse candidate. Love him for this year. I think it's an interesting dynasty conversation, but confident he is my RB3 for week one.
And we said the volume remains, right? He led the NFL in touches with 72 before he got hurt last year. And we talked about the utilization of CMC. He and Christian McCaffrey were only healthy together for the first 2 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, their combined touches, Henry, 61, McCaffrey, 59. Right. So he actually outpaced him a tiny bit. So the volume's going to be there.
Right. And just different type of volume, obviously, right? McCaffrey gets all those catches, which is far more valuable in PPR scoring than Derrick Henry. Let's move forward, Daniel, to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, Saquon on the other side of this, because Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley are playing each other here in week one. Field, we have them both ranked as top 15 guys. Obviously, Derrick Henry is top five, but Saquon comes in top 15 for us this year. And Stefania, he missed 18 games over the last 2 years combined. Obviously, we talked about it last year with Mike Clay, and then we've gone back and forth with all of that, which has been a lot of fun. as long as you're not Mike Clay. But how are you feeling about Saquon entering not just week one, but entering the season this year?
I'm totally different. Totally different outlook on him this year. Much better, much stronger proposition for him going forward this year than it was last year. And I feel like a broken record for those of you who've heard me say it over and over again. The first year coming off ACL injury is really tough for running backs because of the demand of the position. Not only do they have to be able to stop and change direction on a dime, which is kind of the mechanism for many of these non-contact ACL injuries, but they also have to drag the weight of defenders who are trying to tackle them. So that requires incredible power and strength and confidence, a lot of which they don't get back until they're entering the second year. I did talk to Saquon. I'm going to talk about talking to these players because if for people out there who think this is just Stefania talking, she doesn't know what she's talking about because she's not playing football. I'm asking them. You know, Saquon's saying to me, I didn't feel like myself last year. Mm-hmm. He flat out said it.
Yeah.
I actually asked him, you know, because I love talking to guys when they're a year out. I said, why do you think it is that going in to the season, you're like, I'm fine, I'm the same, or whatever. And then a year later, you say, I wasn't really ready, I wasn't the same. And he's like, because we're athletes. You know, we're confident. He used a different word, but I don't fault them mm-hmm. for that. Because yeah. I think as BT, you want your athletes to be highly motivated to believe that they are as good as they once were. That is what gets them back out on the field. But in retrospect, they can often look back and say, you know what? I wasn't really quite myself. Mm-hmm. Now, a year later, I can see where I'm more confident. He talked about just getting to the line of scrimmage faster,
yeah.
you know, being able to hit holes differently, being able to focus on vision and cutting
yeah.
and not thinking about his knee. And for all the people who said the ankle was unrelated, maybe randomly he stepped on a guy's foot. But he also talked about once he had the ankle injury, it set him back with his knee because it was so important to have the steady daily rehab work that he was doing for his knee, even as he was in season. Once the ankle injury happened, that went backwards. So now a whole year later, much better. He looks like a different guy. And oh, by the way, not a lot behind him in New York. He will get work.
Yeah. I'm still a little nervous on Saquon Barkley going into this year. I have to be honest with you. And it has nothing to do with anything that Stefania just said. As a matter of fact, it has very little to do with Saquon Barkley's skill set. It's probably the circumstances that he finds himself in this year in New York. Obviously, he's a risk of re-injury. Every player is, but especially a guy who has dealt with more than like a Derrick right. Henry as an example. Beyond that, his rookie year, he was an incredible runner and had elite passing game utilization. I don't know that we can count on that in New York this season. Don't totally trust the quarterback in Daniel Jones. And the rushing efficiency could be where it has been for the past few years, which is below average. The offensive line has two really, really good young tackles in Andrew Thomas and then their first round pick this year in Evan Neal. But there have already been multiple injuries along the offensive line and interior that wasn't exactly a strength going into the season. So I'm a little bit concerned about Saquon Barkley. That's alleviated by the fact, though, that you're getting the discount on Saquon this year.
Exactly.
Right?
So I think it's baked into...
Yeah, last year you're having to make a decision. Drafted. Am I taking Saquon Barkley at the back end of the first round? There was a reason why some were skeptical of it. This year, you're not having to make that decision. But to be totally transparent, I think I only have Saquon on one team this year because there are still a few things that make me nervous. I just don't know if this offense is going to be well-oiled enough, even if well-coached, well-oiled enough to produce really strong outcomes consistently for Saquon Barkley. I like him as a mid-tier, maybe even a low-tier RB2, but I am less optimistic on the path to Saquon re-emerging as a top 10 fantasy back this year.
All right, we're going to move on to another handful of players, but field really quickly, those top three guys we just talked about, CMC, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, they're all set it and forget it starters here for week one. I realize we're talking season long as we have this conversation, but just as a part of it,
yeah. McCaffrey and Henry, no question. I've got Saquon 12th on my running back board this week. He and Derrick Henry playing in the same game as the Giants and the Titans square off in week one.
Curious as to what banged up players you can bank on? Well, what about which credit card to get? With NerdWallet side-by-side comparison to top credit cards, you don't have to be. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. And as for those banged up players, Stefania, let's start with the one that everybody has been talking about. Field, most importantly, and Chris Godwin.
Field loves him some Chris Godwin.
I do. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. You know what? I love him even more after listening to this podcast he did in the moment with David Green. Yeah. I highly recommend, if you're interested in some of the stuff I'm talking about with the insight into how athletes think about their injury, what they experience when they're going through it, and how they look at their recovery. I thought Chris Godwin did an excellent job of encapsulating it. And I wish I could share it all here, but I think a couple of the keys are everybody's asking about week one, right? Because he's looked so good coming off this ACL, MCL that, and he was basically participating in practice, even if he was doing individual work on the side, gradually working his way up to some team stuff. And he's been steadily getting better. I love the program they've had him on because it's been very steady progression, not thrust into too much too quickly. But he said, it's really not about week one. I was like, amen. Yeah. This is finally a player saying that, because I always say it's not about week one. It's about, when am I ready to come back? Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a decision that they will make together. He said, really, the only people who know is me, my wife, and my physical therapist. We're the only ones who know what's going on and when that's going to happen. But listening to him talk, he also sounds like mentally he's very solid in how he's thinking about this progression back. He's really looking, when he said he's looking at the second half of the season, I was also like, yes, because I've been talking about him as being a potential really star on your roster for the second half of the season. So I anticipate that he'll be back sometime soon. Mm-hmm. We don't know when, and that he will be integrated into the offense as he is comfortable, do more and more work. And by the second half, everything should be clicking and he should be in good shape.
Let's talk about week one, because I think I've emptied the cannon plenty of times on how I feel about him for this season. But for week one, I currently have him ranked as wide receiver 15 on my board with an asterisk. The asterisk is, we don't know. Later today, we'll get our first practice reports of the week. Chris Godwin could be limited. He could be full. He could be a DNP. This is probably the player that he and J.K. Dobbins and a couple others are amongst the names that I will adjust the most over the next 3 to 4 days. We'll have a final answer for you. Fantasy Football Now, which returns Sunday morning, ESPN2. But just a heads up, this week, because of F1, we're going to start on ESPN News. We will take over ESPN2 following F1 coverage, but be sure to join us there. But for Chris Godwin, I have him at wide receiver 15 right now. There is a chance that we learn, either through the practice report or through Todd Bowles' comments himself, that, hey, he's going to be a 50% of the snaps player. And if he is, he'll end up being more like wide receiver 25 to 28 for me this week.
Yeah, I have him at wide receiver 17 field. ESPN consensus is 25, and Liz has him at 36. So we are all over the board for week one here on Chris Godwin. Part of it is hedging bets and figuring out where we're all at.
Yep.
Comfort level with things. All right, Stefania, Michael Gallup, another guy that I love, someone I've been targeting super late in drafts. I can now move them over to the IR spot, pick someone else off up for week one. But where are you at on Michael Gallup? Because it sounds like to start the season, not going to be on the field here week one.
I don't expect him to be on the field week one. And frankly, you know, think about how late he was injured. I mean, it was the start of the year, week 17 that he tore his ACL. Maybe the most beautiful play while you're tearing your ACL. Oh, he scored an incredible touchdown, did not lose the ball. Credit to him. But keep in mind that Michael Gallup also had a calf strain that cost him 7 weeks earlier in the season. So, you know, whether that was something that kind of contributed to him being more at risk for an ACL injury is hard to say. But he's dealt with a couple significant injuries, both within the same year. That makes me a little more nervous about him on the whole. And he's somebody I would really like to be sure that he's 100% before I see him back in games. A little concerned that as the time has gotten closer to the start of the season, it's been like, hey, he's making good progress. We're going to bring him back sooner. Even to the point where they've hinted at maybe week one, we're not sure. It was Michael Gallup who actually pumped the brakes on the week one readiness. And I think when you see a player do that, that also gives you some insight there. So I think he could be really good. He could be another back half of the season guy. But I'm a little more nervous.
Here's the best part of Michael Gallup. Again, there's no week one conversation here. The value was absurd. He was going 161.3 overall in most recent ADP data. You're getting him for free, basically,
he's
right?
He's still undrafted in half leagues.
Yeah, so he's undrafted in half of leagues in ESPN right now. If you have a waiver system and it runs continuous waivers, I think he's worth an end-of-bench stash, especially Absolutely. If you have the IR spot. And distancing myself from the injury stuff, because that's Stefania's wheelhouse and not mine, he's not the same level of player as Chris Godwin. But this guy is so talented. Like, if he was healthy, or when he's healthy, he'll be the number two wide receiver and one of the best passing attacks in the entire league. He could easily, once he's healthy, see 10 plus targets per game. The upside for Michael Gallup is silly for this year. Now, maybe he's one of those guys that needs a full season before he's back to himself. But again, at either undrafted or at the final pick of your draft, one of the best values in all of fantasy this year. I think Chris Godwin's a value, and Michael Gallup is going 93 picks after Chris Godwin. Uh-huh. Godwin's a superior player, but Gallup should not be overlooked.
If you, let me ask you a question. If you had to stash him for 6 weeks, yeah, would that be worth it?
It will be worth it for me, assuming I have that IR spot. Yes.
Totally.
And by the way, probably otherwise too. Now, considerations include like if I have other injuries on my roster early in the year, but I think he's a worthwhile stash. Yes.
I think using that IR spot for someone like Michael Gallup is different too than like, you know, I have Gus Edwards, and so like I'm going to throw him on my IR spot. Like the long-term upside of what Michael Gallup is, the Cowboys were the number two scoring fantasy offense in the league last year, and now Michael Gallup gets to step into that number two spot there. Mike Field, didn't he get paid real money this offseason?
$12.5 million a year, over $62 million over
which
a
also makes you
term.
Think that they would want to protect that investment, not bring it back too soon. However, you would think. However,
the only thing is, you got a coach. More importantly, you got an owner that has the patience of a toddler, right? Yeah. They want to win right now.
Right now, exactly. Yeah. All right, another player we're going to talk about, Michael Thomas. Right now, ADP for this season has been really interesting draft season. Wide receiver 31 off the board. Tore his ankle injury resulted in 9 missed games in 2020. Surgery had him on the shelf for the entire of 2021. Stefania, it's been a long time since we as fantasy managers have seen Michael Thomas out there on the football field. Where are you at?
He's essentially been out of football for 2 years. I think he could be it's one of the most polarizing in terms of what you think about what he can be after the injury. So he had a severe high ankle sprain. And it was something that when you have such a significant high ankle sprain, you can actually then damage the inside aspect of your ankle as well. That's what he did. He needed it reconstructed. There was a debate about whether he wanted to have surgery. That's what delayed it. Yeah. Then he goes, has the procedure. And while he's rehabbing, he suffers a separate but related injury in the ankle. That's a lot to come back from on a guy who is counting on making sharp pivots, cuts, plants. But he's looked really good in the practices we've seen him in. Here are a couple of the challenges. Number one, he had a hamstring issue in camp. So then he was out of practice again. So technically, I think they think he'll be ready soon. But to your point, still dealing with it. So already out of the gate with another soft tissue injury.
Yep.
Number two, he and Jameis really haven't practiced together hardly at all. Because Jameis had his own little setback with a foot issue, so there hasn't been much time. We've seen a couple of great sessions, heard great things about how he looked, but there's no sustained output there. Mm-hmm. And what is hard for me to evaluate is, can this guy who's flashed brilliantly for brief periods, but hasn't really played consistent football and hasn't touched anyone yet, by the way, there's been no contact, there's nothing. Can he be the Michael Thomas of 3 years ago? And can he last an entire season at that level? I'm not convinced. I think if I was projecting what I saw for him, it would be that I expect him to flash brilliantly early on and people go, hey, that's Michael Thomas. And then something's going to drop off. Yeah. He's not going to be as productive in that system because Jameis Winston's going to be firing down the field to Chris Olave or Jarvis Landry steals some of that interior work. Or he gets hurt again. He feels very risky to me.
I think I'm going to need a single shot here. This is perfect. You guys knew it was coming, didn't you? Here's my take on Michael Thomas. This is a definitive take, by the way. I don't know. For those that are listening right now, I just give you a big shrug. Who knows? Who knows on Michael Thomas right now? Let me tell you, the people that are telling you right now that Michael Thomas is unequivocally going to ball out this year and look like the old Michael Thomas, you know what they're doing? They're lying to you. Mm-hmm. The people that are out there saying Michael Thomas is nothing more than slant boy. He is a thing of the past. He's going to be terrible this year. You know what they're doing? They're also lying to you. No one knows what we're going to get out of Michael Thomas. I believe strongly that at health or when fully healthy, Michael Thomas is a really, really talented wide receiver. One of the best in the NFL when fully healthy. I also believe that his health is a concern, not just from the things from the past two seasons, but the hamstring that he's currently dealing with right now, and that record-breaking season when he had literally more catches than any player in a single year in NFL history at the time, in part because There wasn't a lot of competition. He was playing in an offense that was perfectly designed to have that kind of productivity with Drew Brees at the control panels. Now, as Stefania said, you've got Jameis Winston, who wants to go vertical frequently. You also have Jarvis Landry and Chris Olave. So where did I net out? Wide receiver 30, which is like, it's like the most, it's a donut with no toppings and no frosting and no nothing, right? It's, yeah, like he could work out for you. It could be pretty solid. But if he's not, like, no sweat off your brow because you didn't spend that high of a draft pick on Michael Thomas. I keep coming back to wanting to be optimistic on Michael Thomas, but I'm like 52% optimistic and 48% unsure. Nobody really knows on Michael Thomas.
Fields, for week one, I have him at wide receiver 28, and I don't feel super great about it because I'm not sure.
I have no idea. If he plays.
Right.
Well, who's he's? Who knows? He could be, you know, we always used to talk about this, and we've talked about it a little bit less this year. Players have wide ranges of outcomes. Michael Thomas has that's like an 8-lane highway in terms of wide range of outcomes, right? Yeah. It is, who knows? We're all over the place. Again, I want to be optimistic because I'm a big fan of the player, but there are a lot of questions to be answered.
All right, another player we've talked about a bunch this offseason,
Stefania. I might need to recuse myself from this conversation because I'm scared. Stefania goes first, and then I'll tell you why.
J.K. Dobbins tore his ACL on August 28th of 2021. This last year, finally, a full year later, the team just signed Kenyon Drake to be able to join Mike Davis, who it sounds like is going to be the two starting running backs for the Baltimore Ravens to start the season. How are you breaking down J.K. Dobbins?
It's so tough, right? Because we often talk about when a player has a full year to recover, you feel like that gives you a good cushion, right? You're more encouraged about their ability to get back by the start of the year if they have an early injury.
He seems encouraged by his
progress. Well, he's got confidence. This is where confidence sort of bleeds into sometimes overconfidence, and maybe they need to be
the NFL's Kevin Durant.
He's expressed his displeasure both when he was originally going to be placed on the PUP list, and then, you know, he was lobbying the Ravens to get off it during training camp. They pulled him off, and we saw him start to do a little more work, individual drills, but even that was up and down. He'd practice for a day or two, get scaled back for a day or two. Not that that's not wise, but it definitely told you he wasn't just ready to ramp up to full activity. They haven't had him in contact yet. So here's my question to everybody out there who's like, yeah, but if he plays week one, how do you think that's going to go? I mean, part of getting in football shape is getting bumped around and banged around. There's a reason that the NFL implemented these stratified practices once you got into pads, because it takes a while to acclimate to that. So you're talking about a knee that's given him some trouble, hasn't been a totally smooth recovery, that he's then expected to look like the old J.K. Dobbins on, right? And part of his skill set was yards after contact, averaging nearly 3 yards after contact in that 2020 season. And that means your legs have to be super strong and powerful because you're not only breaking tackles, but you're dragging people with you. He hasn't been exposed to any of that. Mm-hmm. The first time that happens will come in a real game, potentially. Mm-hmm. I am not inclined to think that they would just throw all caution to the wind and use him tons of snaps his first time out. I would think they would break him in slowly. So whether he's active or not, I would want to see it first to believe it. Mm-hmm. For me and for fantasy purposes, I'm avoiding a situation where I really don't have that much insight into how he's doing. I respect that he wants to get back there and be his old self. I think he, and we've talked about running back position, and then his particular situation, he is definitely a guy that next year I hope I'm talking about with glowing, like Saquon. Yep. But I think this is going to be a year of recovery for him.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm scared for a lot of reasons. I've only got one share of J.K. Dobbins this season. Here's a reason why I'm scared. I know how talented he is. He's so good. We talked about that 6-game stretch to end his rookie year. Led the NFL in yards per carry amongst running backs. I'm not going to sit here and deny the talent for a second. He's awesome. The Ravens should be much better this year. If he's healthy and plays 14, 15 games, he could rush for 1,000 yards. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. So what I'm scared of is that I'm afraid that if I go too far with the pessimism, I'm going to truly regret it at the end of the year because he's going to have an awesome season. What I'm also scared by is the fact that his health is very uncertain right now. And if it wasn't uncertain, why would the Ravens have gone out of their way to sign Mike Davis and Kenyon Drake, as Stefania alluded to? Beyond that, eventually Gus Edwards could be back in the mix, who the Ravens extended for 2 years and $10 million just a couple of off seasons ago. They love themselves some Gus Edwards.
Out first four games, right? Because on the pup.
First four games minimum for Gus Edwards. And it sounds like it might be more than that.
I would expect longer.
Yeah. We get to week 8 or 9. Maybe you do have Gus Edwards back in the fold to some degree. Beyond that, I've talked about this several times, but the efficiency for J.K. Dobbins was so good during down the stretch there, that six-game stretch. He also had 3 catches in that game. In a game where we value targets and catches so much, J.K. Dobbins is not going to offer you that much because of the offense. The Ravens have not had a 250-yard running back receiver since Lamar Jackson became the full-time starter at quarterback. So it's just not a staple of their offense. So I think if you were to ask me a player that I'm more fading than consensus, it's J.K. Dobbins.
And here in week one field, I don't have him ranked as a starter at running back or even a flex play.
I've got him at 29. Yeah. And running I do like the matchup. Running back 29, it's a good matchup against the Jets, but the Ravens could say, hey, we're going to get you 12 carries and that's it.
Yeah. Yep. All right, we're going to pick it up here a little bit. Stefania, talking Cam Akers. Right now, when is running back 16 in the Nick Chubb, Zeke Elliott tier? He tore his ACL last July.
It's Achilles.
Did I say? Oh, I did. Yeah, it is Achilles. Sorry, I said
that's
ACL.
All right. There's so many ACLs. I understand.
Tore his Achilles last July. But then he returned in week 17, and you remember the playoff run that he had with the Rams from that standpoint. Cam Akers feels like someone that people have been back and forth on this offseason. Where are you at on Cam Akers heading into week one?
I think it's the recency thing, right? People marveled at his recovery. Like, he's back so fast. And then they saw him week 17 playoffs, and we're like, I don't know if he's the same guy. To which I would say, both of those things are true. Incredible recovery, came back and played and contributed for his team. Let's be honest, he contributed. He's out there. People have to pay attention to him. But it takes a while. We talk about this. If you talk to any athlete who's had an Achilles tear, they will say the explosiveness and the power, because they have to push off that leg. It takes a while to get that back. Think of what happens. They're basically in a position where they cannot move their ankle too much for a number of months until that surgery is solid, till they feel like the tissue has scarred down. And then they are asked to get all their motion and their strength back and then get back to their sport. And it takes a while.
Yeah.
So I expect Cam Akers to look better this year after the additional time. I'm not worried about him. I know there's been some, he's had some off days during training camp dealing with minor setbacks, but nothing significant. Again, I point to the Rams medical staff as being one of the best in the business. And Akers says, he's healthy. Watch him Thursday night.
Yeah, confident in him for going for the season. I've got him as a mid-tier RB2 for Thursday night specifically. I got him as RB22 in part because I do think Darrell Henderson will have some level of a role. And also this game projects to be a high-scoring one where maybe the Rams are throwing the football a bit more than usual. But I'm very optimistic about the player.
Yeah, a couple more quick hitters after this, Stefania, but I want to wrap up this segment with a pair of Steelers, Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson, who both got injured in this preseason, in this offseason. How is it that you feel like when you look at them heading into week one, where are you at on both these guys?
I think they're both fine. We've talked about Najee Harris on the show before with the Lisfranc sprain that was very mild. He already played in a preseason game. He feels good. I'm not worried about that. Deontay Johnson had a shoulder issue that he left a preseason game for when he landed hard. Mike Tomlin had said he could have come back in the game had it been regular season. I think both of them are fine.
All right. Field.
I've nothing to add on them. I've talked about them. I have talked about them all preseason as if they were not injured, even though Najee did miss some time. And my analysis has not changed one bit since the start of August to right now.
With Stefania's new contract, we got to pay some bills. So, Field, why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
Let's tell you about Global X, Daniel, because I'm going to kick you off by kicking off your investing journey by exploring exchange-traded funds.
All right.
Exchange-traded funds, known as ETFs for short, create baskets of stocks, bonds, and other assets that you can buy in a single trade, helping you avoid putting all of your hopes on a single draft pick. At Global X, we specialize in ETFs that track emerging technologies like the rise of electric vehicles and strategies designed to generate income. Visit globalxetfs.com to discover more.
Football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus for everyone in week one, we all can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. You bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly even if your team loses. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call the or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms. All right, bring it out, and we're going to pick it up here with a couple more players that are going to close this out before we bring in our good friend Liz Loza to join us for the rest of the show. And Stefania, you've got James Robinson, Torres Achilles, here in week 16, December 26th. Everyone's been talking about Travis Etienne in this backfield, but let's not forget that James Robinson is still a really good running back.
Really good player. They love him. And this is surprising to me because I thought he might start on the physically unable to perform list, but he was cleared to participate in training camp. And now Doug Peterson's saying he expects that he could play in week one. I would provide the same caution with James Robinson that I have with some of these guys who are just coming back from major injury, which is don't expect the world in week one. He has not taken any, he hasn't gotten that football banging up in training camp. Yep. So I think they're going to be cautious with him, but it's great news because as he continues to get better, they're going to have these complimentary backs. That's for them. It's not great for fantasy. I know everybody is going to be like, what do we do? Because he's going to cut into Travis Etienne eventually, we'll but see. Not to start.
Yep.
We've been ranked as such too for week one. I mean, we have him as running outside the top 40 at running back for that reason.
RB 43. So.
All right, Stefania. Ken Walker, mid-August, underwent a non-sports hernia procedure.
For a hernia. They won't clarify. That's Pete Carroll talk. But here's what he's out running around, as Pete Carroll describes it. Says he looks pretty good, but he said, well, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. They play Monday night the first week. So he said, well, we have an extra day. So you won't really know until you see the injury reports, and they don't have to put one out until Thursday because of the Monday night game. Either way, it sounds like it's not going to be a long time for him.
Do we get two Monday night games this Monday?
We do not. We get one. The days of a doubleheader on Monday Night Football are gone until week two. When we get a doubleheader on Monday Night Football, which includes a game in Buffalo and also Philadelphia. Buffalo and Tennessee, I believe.
There you go.
ESPN's going to have a ton of coverage around that week two.
All right, Stefania, I'm going to just step out. I got a couple of names that are listed here on the sheet. Yep. I'm just going to let you hit them, and we're going to react afterwards.
Okay. So Zach Ertz, people might be wondering about him because he hasn't really been around, left practice early on August 4th, reportedly making progress, but as recently as August 31st, Cliff Kingsbury said he would be close related to his status for the season opener. Of course, he said that about like three or four other players as well. So I think they're still playing it close to the vest. Oh, you want me to go through them all?
Yeah. Stefania. I just learned that. Stefania just taught me what tape to tape means.
I taught you tape to tape. There's no tape, though. I'll go. Drake London. Injured his knee in the first preseason game. They've said it's not a long-term concern. No practice for 3 weeks, and his knee's been progressing. Spotted at practice this week. Has a chance to suit up week one. Pay attention to his status. Jaylen Waddle had a lower body issue day-to-day since mid-August with an undisclosed injury. Returned to practice on Monday, and Coach Mike McDaniel says Jaylen Waddle is on track for week one. He is another one where I think they were just being cautious in the preseason with him. Deebo Samuel had a posterior knee contusion, basically a bruise on the back of his knee. There was some question about whether he'd be available week one. He went back to individual drills on Monday. I think he is on track to play. And then Alan Lazard, this is a strange one, undisclosed. No practice for a few days, was running full speed on the side on Monday, but nobody has said what it is. And until the injury reports come out, they don't have to. And this, I would say, is a reminder of why the injury reports that are league mandated are so important, because you get the body part, you get what the status of the player was at practice. The injury reports come out Wednesday through Saturday. Saturday injury reports are just updates on player status and also the final report for the Monday night game players. Again, look for those injury reports. They are submitted end of the day to the league office, and we will reference them here often.
Okay, and Field already said it. Check out Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning for inactives at 11:30. That is going to be the latest amount of information that you can get. Stefan, you always have so much for us at that point.
Oh, I have one thing on that. At 11:30, we get the inactives for the 1 p.m. games. And I always put out my official who's active, who's inactive. And people will always ask me in a follow-up tweet, what about a player who's playing at 4:30? We don't have those yet. So Those are only specific to the 1 p.m. game. Just a small point of clarity there.
That's a good heads up, Field. I did not realize that.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'm good for something.
90 minutes before kickoff.
All right. Field, why don't you give us one more quick ad read before we bring in our friend Liz.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Love
of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Hey, guys. Fantasy football season is around the corner, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash-talking friends. This season, you know your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor Sports Drink on and off the field. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game too. Maybe you're hitting the gym again or just looking to stay fit. Whatever your workout routine, you're going to need to stay hydrated. And Body Armor has got you covered. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water. It's a great time to grab some Body Armor Sports Drink for yourself. Everybody's focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor Sports Drink, more than a sports drink. Now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store, scan the QR code in store to enter to be one of hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, open to residents of the U.S. 21 and older.
Clock at the turn. Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk stack.
I thought Mike Clay was in the buff there for a second.
for like 2 seconds, I got a little nervous.
I got scared.
A little nervous. Hey, Liz. So great to have you join us.
Hi, friends. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. What time is it over there where you're at? It's way earlier than it is here.
No, it's 8:45. It's nothing.
Oh, gosh, that's so early.
She's a parent. That's nothing. 8:45 is we discussed earlier. That's not quite lunch, but it's brunch.
All right, so Liz, first and foremost, I want to make sure every time that you come on, where can our listeners find you in case that not everyone listens to every episode? So, at LizLoza_FF, is that correct?
Nailed it, friend.
Yes. I knew I was good for that's something around here. All right. And Liz, we have a bunch of Twitter submissions around the teams that people drafted, our listeners drafted over the weekend and through the preseason. Each one of us is going to take a team and we're going to sort of break it down. And Liz, we're going to start with you. When you look at the team that was sent to you, what is it that you like about this Listener League team that we have for you?
Well, overall, I think this team is very solid. The name, first of all, Let LaFleurs Be With You.
Well done. This team is loaded. Are you kidding me?
I spent like a good 15 minutes trying to come up with some like Padawan cheese provolone pun to like mix. And they won. They like beat me intellectually on this one. But in terms of drafting, Kyler Murray, love that. Top 5-7 quarterback, opens the season versus Kansas City with the highest projected point total for the week. That should be fireworks early. Austin Eckler, y'all know I love that.
Of course
so he must
you do.
Have drafted second, right? So also another high-scoring game in week one versus Vegas, so we should see a lot of action in terms of a pass-catching role. Javonte Williams, like, a little, maybe some question marks, but not too many. And he opens the season at Seattle on Monday night. He's going to feast. This team is CeeDee Lamb versus Tampa Bay to open the season. CeeDee Lamb saw 15 targets when the Cowboys opened the season last year, and that was with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, at least for a little bit on the field. He's going to have like 20 looks. It's bananas. Here's where it gets a little bit interesting. Rashad Bateman, I like it. Maybe week one, though, let's pause there. Travis Kelce at tight end. Holy cow. This is incredible again.
Amazing.
The number two tight end consensus pick, right? Also in that high-flying game at Arizona. Flex, Eli Mitchell. I love that Stefania already talked about him. In week one, he's got fresh-ish legs, as fresh as like Eli Mitchell can have, and he's in a great, he's got probably got great game script at Chicago. Remember, Chakeem without Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack this season. Defense, Tampa Bay, they're at Dallas, but maybe they sack Dak a couple of times without Tyron Smith in the O-line there. I don't care about the kicker. Great, highest implied team total for the week. Fantastic, Matt Gay, go. But bench. CPAT, nice value. Juju Smith-Schuster is on his bench. This is the one for the week one lineup I'm thinking about. Like, what a great bench stash. Juju Smith-Schuster, awesome. Alan Lazard, just talked about the undisclosed injury situation. I don't love him week one, but he doesn't have to. This LaFleur guy does not even have to worry about Lazard in week one because he's so stacked. Then he's got Matt Stafford. Interesting that you would draft another quarterback, but fine. I don't hate it because everywhere else you're solid. Would have maybe liked to see some more running back depth there, though. Treylon Burks, who knows? Maybe second half. Maybe he's being hidden over the preseason. I did talk to someone in Tennessee that and hinted that that could have been part of the plan over the preseason. So, all right, fine. And then James Robinson, who you guys just talked about, excellent player, probably going to shake off some rust from the Achilles issue as the season moves forward. And if Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk and Marvin Jones, who, by the way, is just a year removed from back-to-back 9-touchdown efforts, if this offense starts to like pick up, then we love James Robinson and that goal line equity potentially.
Heck yeah, we do. I mean, we know Mike Clay loves it because he just talked about the stack with Christian Kirk and Trevor Lawrence.
Well, that was Miller Lite Mike. We don't know how many Miller Lite Zeke he was.
That's fair. That's fair. Honestly, though, Liz, that team is so deep. Being able to have not just CeeDee Lamb at the top at wide receiver, but Travis Kelce at tight end, you're able to add it seems like across the board, there's just value everywhere in this team. So really, really happy with this listener team.
Okay. Who wants to move forwards up next?
I'll do it.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's do
Daniel's
it.
Up All next. Right. Take a look at Daniel's team.
I have a team called Face the Kelsequences. This came in from AJ.
I give that a B. Name-wise.
Full PPR. Here's what I'm going to say. Jalen Hurts at quarterback. Love Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Number one quarterback in goal-to-go rushes last year. In fact, he was top 11 across all positions in goal-to-go rushes last year. Add in Najee Harris and Nick Chubb. I love Najee Harris. Nick Chubb is not my favorite, but as an RB2, I understand where it's at. DJ Moore and Deontay Johnson, two underrated 1,000-yard wide receivers that are going to be better this year than where they were drafted at. Also another team with Travis Kelce here. And then Chris Godwin in the flex to go with DJ Moore and Deontay Johnson. I love this starting lineup. The one thing that is a little bit confusing to me as I get down to the bench, we have Kareem Hunt, Damian Pierce, Rashad Penny, Melvin Gordon, and Alexander Mattison to go along with Elijah Moore as the only wide receiver. Yeah. He has five bench running backs here with Trey Lance as another quarterback behind Jalen Hurts. You don't need five running backs on your bench. Go ahead and start trying to trade some of these guys. Two, I would have, just because of the uncertainty with Chris Godwin, someone a little bit more than Elijah Moore set up for my flex for week one and week two. And you don't need Trey Lance. Like I said, go out and grab someone else off of the waiver wire. Really strong team from a starter standpoint. Bench could use a little bit of work, but I love the running back depth. You just got to pick which ones you want. Stefan, you want to go next?
Sure. I have a Team Slayer.
Slayer!
I think that's an homage to John Clayton,
sure,
right?
I love this guy. He's already my favorite team.
So yeah. I know. I love the name. Like the name, you're going to slay. Like, what can I say? And I also love your lineup, pretty much. So we have Jonathan Taylor here. Somebody who I would love to know where they drafted
because first.
Yeah. I'm assuming if Jonathan Taylor,
I'm going first. Yeah.
I'm assuming not everybody goes Jonathan Taylor first.
Fair enough. I'm going first.
I'm going to assume first Jonathan Taylor. So running back studs. I mean, he's got Jonathan Taylor. We talked about Saquon Barkley as an RB2. I think there's huge value in a full PPR league, with the running backs. Trey Lance is the quarterback. I am a little nervous about Trey Lance, and not just from football perspective, but just fantasy delivery. I think he's going to have ups and downs, but I will tell you this. He's got Dak Prescott on his bench, so he has options there. Brandon Cooks, T. Higgins, DJ Moore, just some solid receivers. Here's what I would say about that. T. Higgins often, just because he plays alongside Jamar Chase, people don't give T. Higgins enough credit. Love T. Higgins. Brandon Cooks is maybe one of the unsexiest wide receivers out there, but is consistently productive year over year. Mm-hmm. And now working with Davis Mills, they have even better chemistry. I think that Brandon Cooks is just going to steadily give you consistency in your fantasy
practice. Consistently unsexy. And I mean that in a positive way.
I do too. But reliable. Decent floor with Brandon Cooks. That is, you know what I mean?
How about a good team name if you have rostered Brandon Cooks? Consistently unsexy. Is that fair? Wow.
I don't think anybody.
No? Would really, maybe just for me then.
It's not appealing.
Right. No big deal.
Darren Waller is a tight end there. I mean, and
he's pretty good.
And you know, you've got a top tier tight end in the mix. On the bench, I sort of had the same opinion as you did. Like, I like to see more wide receivers on the bench just because I think there's better fantasy payoff. Like, I'd be looking at upstart wide receivers, his bench, Dak, Jamal Williams, Daryl Henderson, Treylon Burks. And so we've got, you know, potential with Treylon Burks down the line. I think I'd be looking to move one of those running backs and go for a flashier wide receiver with some upside. You know, maybe somebody like a Chris Olave, who I love, even somebody a little more remote, like Alec Pierce.
It's tough if you're if you only have four bench spots to roster two quarterbacks. I think that's,
it is tough,
hard.
But I'm wondering if that was done just for, like, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo news has made people nervous, and I understand it. And so, you know, Dak, somebody else could be looking for Dak. But here's the question. If you put Dak out in the mix, he's going to get taken.
Yep.
Maybe he really wants to have Dak. But you might get 3 weeks into the season and be like, boy, I really wish I had Dak back.
Mm.
So what do you do? Do you gamble and say, I'm going to yield Dak and take a different second quarterback?
That's a great question. It depends on who else is out there.
I don't know. If I would be willing to trade Dak for if somebody is really, but it's 10 team league. Nobody's going to do that
Dak
for you.
Over Trey Lance, I think. Like, I
don't know that I would in the week one.
Against Chicago?
Nope.
Dak's taking on Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe Chicago, maybe Trey Lance week one. That's fair. Field, who you got for your team?
So I want to give a shout out to Tommy Hayden, who sent us three teams.
Wow.
I'm going to break down the Brady Bunch starring CMC. It's a non-PPR super flex league, 12 teams. And got to be honest with you, I like the lineup a lot. Tom Brady, of course, the Brady Bunch. McCaffrey, Damian Pierce, Jamar Chase, Jerry Jeudy, George Kittle, Gabe Davis, Trey Lance as the OP here. Ravens and Greg Joseph as the starters. And if I look at this lineup, to be honest with you, kind of only one thing stands out, and it's sort of mitigated in a non-PPR league, is just Damian Pierce has been awesome this preseason. He has seen his ADP skyrocket. The question is, is he capable of being an RB2 right away? On the bench, he has Ramondre Stevenson and James Cook plus Kenneth Walker. That RB2 spot will probably end up defining just how strong Tommy's team is this year. Ramondre Stevenson, we think, has a chance to be the best Patriots running back, but Damian Harris not just going to fade away. And worth noting that James Cook, while a potentially really useful player in PPR scoring, probably not quite as valuable in non-PPR, because we think the best area of his game right now to help the Bills meaningfully this year is his pass catching. But Tommy, salute to you for three teams right there. Really well done. I love the dedication. I think playing in a lot of leagues is a good thing. I promise.
I agree.
Samesies.
Liz, how many teams are you playing in this year? How many leagues you got this year, Liz?
Oh, I got it paired, not including best balls, obviously. I got it paired down to nine. So I'm
paired down to nine. Okay. And Liz, of those nine, Liz?
Liz and I are drafting together later today.
Oh, let's go. Yeah, what league?
It's a ladies' league. You're not invited.
Oh, by definition, I would not be invited. What more can you guys tell us about this ladies' league? Is it fellow ESPNers? Liz, go ahead.
Liz can tell you about it.
It's a 14-team super flex.
Okay.
My favorite format.
Love it.
Yeah.
And I believe Stefania in the past played in the ladies' league where the winner got like Louboutins or something.
Yes. And I will have you know that draft came around and it's conflicts with the War Room League. So I had to pass on the shoe league this year.
No.
It's very upsetting. Gosh. I come in second, never gotten the Louboutins.
Is there a prize for this 14-team ladies' league?
So winner takes half of the pot. The other half of the pot is donated to the Women's Sports Foundation.
Okay, very cool. Is there anything else we should know about this? Like people that are also in this league? Anything else you want to share? Shine some light on this wonderful league.
My leagues are my private business.
That's totally fine too. Have at it. Yeah. All right. Well, that's awesome. Nine leagues. I'm impressed that you paired down. That's my favorite part. I paired down to nine leagues this year. I love it. That's dedication right there.
Let's close out the show with some social questions. Liz, I want to throw a few things your way. This first one comes from Justin. Justin's been a long-time listener in our Twitter chat.
Let's go. Love Justin.
Justin wants to know, interested to hear if there are any tips for drafting in a league that is going to shift to two players as keepers for the 2023 draft. So you're drafting now.
Yeah.
And the league already knows next year they're going to go to a keeper list. As a part of that drafting, Liz, do you have any ideas or setups? So like, if you're doing keepers, do you have a value attached to them? Are they free? What is it that you do in your leagues that you like?
It's interesting because I actually drafted in a league that has Rainn Wilson and Joel McHale in it. I am dropping yesterday. And we have a two keeper, but there's also use a fab budget. So like the next year, you can keep two people and then you add $5 to keep them. So I would say that, like, in keeper leagues, obviously rookies are incredible values. So I would be focusing on Chris Olave or Drake London, maybe even Damian Pierce. For example, in this league that I'm talking about, someone got Ja'Marr Chase for like $10 out of a $200 budget. So they are keeping him for just $15 out of their fab this season. So I tend to look at the like younger guys that you can keep at a lower, where there are more question marks around them, or even I think this year, some of the less popular brand names moving teams where they're like Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Who there are question marks surrounding. And so people might be less hesitant about going all in on maybe finding those guys so that you can have more value holding them for next season.
I'm going to share one tidbit and then everything else goes back to Liz. And Kevin Pulsifer, who's our researcher, yep, fantasy football, now just texted us this. I did this last night. I learned it from Keith Lipscomb in a different league that we play in. Use your last round pick on Calvin Ridley. Next year, you get to keep him.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley, who I got in a salary cap league for a buck last night because no one else had even thought of Calvin Ridley. Little trick there. I could not share that until today because I wanted to actually execute that maneuver, but there's your tip.
That's the way it works.
Back to Liz.
Priorities.
Another question we have here. This one comes from Caesar. Liz, are you stashing James Robinson or Josh Palmer?
Oh, I like Josh Palmer. I can't resist. Although I think Gerald Everett in week one, by the way, could have a boom week. He's looking for a little bit of redemption. And the Raiders gave up 10 touchdowns to the tight end position last season. But overall, I would like Josh Palmer. That kid is one injury away from being Justin Herbert's number two.
Okay. This one comes from Ryan McNichols. With regards to yesterday's episode, hopefully you listened, Liz. Should I start Travis Etienne or Gabe Davis? Because Etienne is technically projected higher. If you were going for a flex, do you usually play a running back like Travis Etienne, or would you go with the upside of a wide receiver like Gabe Davis?
I would normally, if I'm playing it safe, going to start the running back because of the potential for a touchdown. But Travis Etienne is a little bit different, right? Because we just talked about James Robinson. And also, this is a moment where we're going to find out on Thursday if Gabe Davis is worth the fire. And I think if you drafted him where you did, you have to play him, especially in a game with a projected point total of over 52.
All right. With that being said, Jackson Lloyd wants to know AJ Dillon or Juju in the flex. Going Juju there as well?
Yeah, I'm going to go Juju there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, one more we have comes from Francisco. Traded Keenan Allen for Deontay Johnson and Elijah Mitchell. Is that a win or a loss?
Yeah, I think that is a big win. I mean, there are certainly question marks around Deontay Johnson, but to get Elijah Mitchell, he's opening the season against the Bears. He's going to feast. I think he's going to have like, didn't touch the ball 18 times on Sunday. Take it now.
Heck yeah.
Also, can I just say that like fantasy is a like head to, this is a, like fantasy is a head to head proposition. You want to start week one. It's great to think about upside stashes and what can happen in week six, the last 6 weeks of the season, but things go sideways once buys and injuries start to mount very quickly. So focus on week one and take Elijah Mitchell to the bank. Wow, that's a great season.
Weirdly, I got one more here. It's from Field Y in Connecticut. Flex position. Week one, Damian Harris or Darnell Mooney?
Oh, yikes.
Ooh, this is your flex.
No, it's Field. It's Field Y. We don't know.
I would say, not knowing the rest of this Field guy's,
I'll have to check
lineup,
in with Field, yeah.
Probably I'm going to lean towards Damian Harris for the security. Darnell Mooney is going to catch a ton of balls because the Bears are chasing points.
Manipulating the roster right now.
Don't forget.
Damian Harris has the fresh legs.
They're facing the 49ers defense, which is going to be reminiscent of that Bryant Young 94 defense. So maybe Darnell Mooney hits his stride week two.
Are you still worried about that defense? People still worry about the 49ers?
What's wrong with the number one defense? I don't think any Lions guy wants to be talking about the 49ers.
Come on now.
Casting shade on the 49ers.
Jeez.
NFC Championship.
All right, fine. I think that's going to do it for today's show. Well, we can't get Stefania any more riled up than she already is. Liz, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have you every single week. This is going to be a ton of fun. Follow her at LizLozas_FF, at FieldGates, at Stefania_ESPN, at Daniel Dopp. We'll be back tomorrow with a Thursday night preview. Wide receiver cornerback matchups with Mike Clay and a CSS DFS for week one.
Let's go.
We got football tomorrow.
That's right. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm going to let that field wide guy know, Damian Harris. Over Darnell Mooney and the Flyers.
I can't believe there's two guys named Field in the same state.
It's crazy, right? Who would have thought it?
Yeah.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady, out there hustling for us, with advice that we really trust. She's our Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.